This is .NET Cast with hosts Mark Baker and Nick Hemdahl.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.
And now introducing your host for .NET Cast, Mark Baker.
Welcome to .NET Cast. I'm your host, Mark Baker. Thanks for joining us again. With me tonight is my co-host, Nick Hemdahl. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mark. We're going to have another great show tonight on .NET. And don't forget, you can always find us on the web at www.ddj.com/podcast/.NET Cast/.
In this episode, I start out by asking Microsoft lead developer Peter Provost how events relate to Object Builder within the Composite UI app block. And that, I guess that brings in the whole issue of like events too, right? I mean, in terms of where conceptually you think of things like within CAB, that events will be part of the Object Builder too.
Well, yeah, the Object Builder is enabling all of this stuff. So when I mentioned Event Broker before, you know, you put an attribute on a class that says event publication with a particular topic name.
Right.
That is, you know, that is an expression of intent. I'm saying I want to publish an event to anybody who's interested in listening to this kind of a thing. And somebody else may come along and say, I want to subscribe to that event. And so they go ahead and put an attribute on a different, on a method that says, I'm interested in listening anytime anybody wants to say statements like this. Now, Object Builder is going to come along, and when both those two classes go by, the Object Builder strategies are going to inspect them through reflection and find those attributes and glue those events together for you. And it turns out that needing to glue things together and have those event mechanisms is one of the most important things that people need to be able to do in these late plug-in architectures.
Right, because I mean, most WinForms developers, of course, .NET are used to things like delegates and events, and they're used to having to, let's say, add a delegate to a particular mouse click event or keyboard click event or something. But to do that, you actually need the object to subscribe to. I mean, you actually have to tell the thing you want to subscribe to, I want to listen in on this particular event. And the interesting thing with CAB is that that's all decoupled. You're not actually talking to an instance. You're just saying, I'm interested in this event. I don't care where it comes from.
Yeah, nobody involved directly knows in advance at compile time who these events are going to be wired to.
Yeah.
We figure that out at runtime.
And that is really cool when you need that type of, you know, intermodule broadcasting feature that you don't have to worry anymore about who's actually providing it as an object instance, a global variable, whatever. You just say, I'm interested in this thing, and you get it. But let's step back and talk some more about the different elements within CAB. We've talked about some dependency injection and event management stuff, but what about some of the other items like shells and the shell and the smart parts? And
let me start with work item.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a dependency injection container that's providing all of these services, but what we need is we need something inside that's kind of more turning in the direction of being a little smarter with respect to the services that a smart client needs. So a dependency injection container gets you a long way, but it doesn't get you to the natural places you need to be. As a smart client, you need to be able to talk about the user interface. And so we can fine-tune a dependency injection container to improve its ability to support user interface type stuff. So if you think about when a module loads up at runtime, it has perhaps some views in it. So if we continue the banking metaphor for a minute, the accounts module will load up, and it wants to publish some views about your checking accounts or your savings accounts and things like that.
Right.
What it needs to do is it needs to find a place to put them. And inside a CAB, what happens is we have this idea of a work item. And the work item is a dependency injection container, and it provides all those services that a dependency injection container provides. But it also goes further, and it publishes in well-known ways things like places to put menu items, places to put views, places to put commands.
Mm.
And so those things become named entities. And so when the module loads up and has that view ready to go, it can say, hey, my work item, I need to have a workspace. Space is a place in which we can show views. That's the terminology.
Right.
So I need a workspace for me to show this checking account view in. Where should I put it? And then the work item kind of owns all of that and passes that down and says, here's a workspace for you. Use this one. And the shell can then, or the module can then load that view into that workspace, and it doesn't know anything about the shell at all, except that it was given an iWorkspace when it asked for one.
Cool. So you can actually have how you want to organize your user interface separate and apart from the specific views or forms, dialogues, whatnot, they're actually going to be displaying and users can be interacting with.
Yeah, the module loads up and just expresses a need in a dependency injection kind of a way. You know, I need to show this view, and I'm interested in showing it like this. And the shell and the work item kind of conspire together
right.
to provide that to it.
What about like things like personalization? Like, I mean, as far as workspaces go, is there any having these loading modules? You basically get a hand, you know, you're getting an interface to a workspace, and you know, is there any way that I can move those around and so on and so forth? You know,
right? Yeah. So I think I know where you're going. Let me take a stab at that. So customization and kind of providing a foundational module is something we talk about a lot. Now, out of the box, CAB doesn't come with anything in particular for it, but that's because to us, it's really nothing more than yet another CAB module providing services. So let me explain for a minute. We have the shell. The shell is you know, where the executable resides. It's the parent window. It often has very little in it other than a workspace or two. Now, one of the things that we've seen people do is have a module, a CAB module, that loads in early, possibly even first in the sequence. And what it does is it perhaps replaces those various workspaces with new ones. And so by inserting new workspaces with new capabilities, then when the other modules come along later, they can get the workspaces that were provided by the module that came ahead of it. Now, that's kind of a crazy daisy chain style thing, but if you think, you can think about it. If the shell was nothing more than one big square window, and for the style of work you use, you like to have the, the Outlook layout style of work. So you have that foundational module load in. And then when the bank when all the banking modules load up, you get your stuff plugged into those regions. So you have the left side pane and the right side pane, classic Outlook look and feel. Now for me, I may actually prefer a much more customizable feel because I might be, you know, in the investment banking side of things. And so I want to actually be able to have an adjustable, drag the panes around, kind of a customizable experience. And so, you know, the development team has gone the extra mile to take one of the fancy third-party vendor controls and wrap them all up in workspaces and create me a foundational module that runs, in the same shell. What it does is it's more of a reconfigurable portal, and so as the bank views load up into these windows, I can rearrange them and organize them and lay them out.
Gotcha.
So it's not that CAB is doing it for you. It's that the CAB infrastructure enables you to do this. But, of course, you know, you have to either find a third-party control vendor that is, you know, CAB aware, or you're going to have to wrap some of that stuff up yourself to get those fancy dragging controls with all that stuff.
What about my legacy objects? You know, I mean, what's the best way to bring them into a module, or you know, especially ones that you know when I have several modules, I guess dependent on the same, you know, not I guess not legacy so to speak, but something that I've already developed, not with CAB, not in mind.
Sure. Well, I mean, typically if you've been doing WinForms development and you already have some code in place, what you will probably have is some control libraries, right? Perhaps projects that contain Windows Forms controls in the form of either user controls or just custom controls. And taking those controls and if they're containers and turning them into workspaces is a very simple activity. And in fact, if you look inside of the CAB source code at the tabbed workspace, as a for example, the tab workspace is a very, very thin wrapper around the built-in Windows Forms tab control that provides workspace capabilities. So if you already had a container control that you wanted to be a workspace, wrapping it up is pretty easy. Now, if you have more of kind of a presentation control, a control that is responsible for presenting data, displaying those into a workspace is what CAB's all about. They don't require any special attributing or behaviors. You can take any user control or custom control that you want, and you can present it into a CAB workspace.
That's cool.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I was thinking more or less along the lines of business logic, things like that. But it was a good follow up though.
Okay,
I'm just taking. If I have a regular old assembly that does some calcs or some validations, I need it to be shared across a number of modules rather than adding a reference because it has some state in it. I mean, do I expose it as a service as one of those foundational modules then?
All right, let me take a stab at that. Okay, so suppose you have an assembly that has a bunch of shared business logic and that kind of stuff in it that you want to reuse.
Right.
There are a number of different approaches that you can take to bring that stuff into a cab application. If in your mind one of those services is kind of like a singleton in that it is reasonably stateless and kind of just provides utility services to code inside of your application, then what you will probably do in cab is publish it as a cab service. And a cab service is something that is basically a singleton inside of its work item. So inside of its dependency injection container, it acts like a singleton. What that means is if anybody comes along and asks for an iMyMath service, he will get the same instance as everybody else who asks for iMyMath service. And that is a good way to get kind of a helper or utilitarian or servicing logic kind of published in a way that everybody can consume it. And, of course, those things are published using an interface, typically. Then it's not required that it's an interface, but it's recommended that you use an interface because that allows that breaks the dependencies again. It means people take a dependency on knowing the signature of its interface instead of on knowing exactly its implementation and maybe what assembly it came from. And this allows you to do things like replacing it at runtime or even based on user configuration. It also allows you to replace it for testing environments and things like that. Now, not all business logic code actually meets that requirement of being kind of singleton-ish and
right.
Stateless. So when you have those other kinds of things, honestly, the best practice is going to be to just treat it like your regular .NET code. Something that needs it should use it. And you can take references inside of cab modules. In fact, we will often find that a project breaks down into the shell, a series of modules, and some non-module .NET assemblies that provide some of those classes in helping things. Those are often your domain objects. Your domain objects are typically in that realm that all of your modules have to agree on what customer is. Those kinds of things are often crop up. So you just take a standard .NET reference on those, and you have to keep your eye open for the problems around circular dependencies and stuff, and if you run into them, you can start to address those by the introduction of cab services or more interfaces and things like that. But as far as accessing them goes, it's just standard .NET references.
Well, that's all for this episode of .NET Cast. Send us an email at .NETcast@sunburstsoftware.com and let us know what you think of the show. Take care, everybody.
The opinions expressed on .NETcast are solely those of the participants and not necessarily those of its sponsors or CMP Media, its partners, or employees. .NETcast is a CMP DevNet podcast and is produced by Sunburst Software at sunburstsoftware.com. Additional production support has been provided by Digital Context at digitalcontext.com. CMP DevNet is solely responsible for the content of .NETcast.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.